have to be very careful when you are asked to speak specifically on this petition from the Lord's Prayer, because then you are always confronted, as a preacher, you're always confronted with the truth of the scripture that it might just apply to you. And so we come this morning to the section of the Lord's Prayer that is called the Prayer as Confession. And you've heard from our speaker already this morning on the introduction. Matthew 6, verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for reminding us of our need of you, for reminding us that as humans, we do offend. We offend you. We offend one another. But you are not at a loss because you have provided for us a means of making things right. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for its truth. Thank you for what we've been singing and reminding us that we have a Savior who has grace enough for all our sin. We bless you and thank you this morning. Amen. So the Lord's Prayer, as many of you understand it to be, is actually a model. We are instructed by the Lord. The Lord was giving instructions to his disciples. If you look at that passage in Matthew chapter 6, if you look at that passage, he is giving them instructions of how to pray. He has mentioned how not to pray, and now he talks about, but when you pray, this is how you should pray. And so we're told to pray, first of all, that prayer is worship. Secondly, we're told to pray because prayer is also a reminder to us that we are part of a kingdom, and that kingdom, do I need this closer? All right, I can do that. Mm-hmm. I think so. Well, maybe not. I guess not. All right, there we go. But prayer is also to be used as a request, which last week we spent the week thinking about that prayer is also an opportunity for us to ask God. And so today we come to a different kind of request, a prayer to ask God for forgiveness. Have you ever thought that the way that is phrased is that we are all in need of forgiveness? There's an assumption in Jesus' request for us to pray this that assumes that we are people in need of forgiveness. Actually, if you have come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's how you had to come, right? You had to confess the fact that you were a sinner, that as far as you were concerned, there was no way you could have a relationship with God until that barrier was taken care of. And in God's wondrous grace, he provided a means for that to happen. But this is a prayer given to us as believers. So somehow in this process, we are in need of regular forgiveness. There is a request here that says we need to be forgiven. Now, the words that are used in this prayer are interesting. The word literally means a debtor. Think about the fact of those of you who have owed money, you are in a sense bound to the person that you owe that money to. So it's talked about debt, but as that word is used in reference to God, it always refers to sin. In our saying of the Lord's Prayer, oftentimes we use the word transgressions. Lord, forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who transgress against us. Transgression carries with it the idea that we've done something that has been offensive, that we've done something that has hurt the other person, that has broken those standards which God has given us. And so we're told to confess. Forgive us our sins. So in order to get forgiveness, as we saw so clearly in the video that we watched together, there is a need for confession. Now, what is confession, and how do we go about confessing? Some of you who were raised in a Roman Catholic church understood that that's part of the deal. If you are to receive the Lord's Supper, you must go to confession, because the assumption in that group of Christians is that, yeah, you need to get cleaned up before you can go to the Lord's table. We don't do it that way, but there's a piece of which we have lost because we don't consider the holiness of what it is that we're doing together when we take the Lord's Supper. But what then is a confession? A confession is basically a formal statement that admits to the fact that we have done wrong, whether that's towards God or towards another person. We have wronged ourselves, and this phrase hit me this week as I was preparing this message. We have offended God's love for us. That one hit me. You think of the immense love of the Father towards us, a love so great, as we have been thinking and singing about, that he sent his one and only Son into our world. When we sin, we have offended that great love. It's like if you have someone that's very dear to you, who loves you dearly, and you do something stupid, and you have broken that sense of their love towards you. That's what happens when we sin against God. Now, here's the neat message of the gospel. We do not have to persuade God to forgive us. We don't have to beg him for forgiveness. We're to request it, but we don't have to beg. Why? Because of the cross. When we look at the cross, we also see behind the cross thousands and thousands of animal sacrifices, thousands and thousands of animals that gave their life as part of the ritual of receiving forgiveness back in the Old Testament. That was the way God ordered his children. If you sin, you're to bring an offering, which is then slaughtered and burned on the altar. All of that, as we find out in the book of Hebrews, was to picture what Christ was going to do on the cross. And Hebrews makes it very clear that what Jesus did on the cross was the one final and complete and whole sacrifice. And so we do not have to persuade God to forgive us. We do have to ask for it. But we have in a Savior, one who knew no sin, who became sin for us. But that's not where that ends, that we might become the righteousness of God. We who are failure, who have failed, we who are sinners, have the opportunity, because of the sacrifice on the cross, you and I can become the righteousness of Christ. But here's the deal. Without confession, without a confession of my personal responsibility, not even God can forgive me. Can I say that again? Without the confession of my personal responsibility, not even God can forgive me. Now, that should not surprise us. Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody that you have sinned against? That you've done something bad, or you've done something stupid, or you've been neglectful, and that person has taken up an offense against you? If I were to go to that person and say, obviously you think I've done something wrong, would you please forgive me? How does that work? No, there's a need for being specific. What is it that I have done? Unless I do that to you, you will not forgive me. And you shouldn't, because there is a need for confession. So how do we go about confession? And we're going to look, first of all, at towards the Lord. How do we do this? What is the discipline that we need to undertake when we come to confess? First of all, may I suggest this? We need to examine our conscience. This is an old concept that comes to us from the early church fathers, an examination of conscience. One of the problems with doing that is oftentimes our conscience has been wounded by sin, just like everything else about us. And so we have to be careful. But in the examination of conscience, we have this. We have the Holy Spirit. We can say to the Holy Spirit, please let me know what is wrong between me and you. So when we examine our conscience, we lay ourselves open before the Holy Spirit. Now, we may need to do something specific. Richard Foster, who's written a great book called Celebration of Discipline, talks about the discipline of confession, and he refers to a time in his own life when he was pastoring in his first church, and though he was doing everything right, it just wasn't working. And it occurred to him that there might be something that he needed to expose before the Lord. And so he took a day, and he spent that day in silence before the Lord, and he said, he took his childhood, and he said, Lord, is there anything in my childhood that needs to be cleaned up between you and me? And then the next day, he did the same thing. Is there anything in my teenage years and my adolescence that needs to be cleaned up? And then finally, in his adult life. And he wrote down as the Holy Spirit brought things to his mind. And then he laid it all before the Lord in the presence of a trusted counselor and laid it before the Lord. And he said, you know, there wasn't any change in my own attitude. There wasn't a lightness of spirit. There wasn't any of those things. But I began to see God's move in our congregation. There were barriers in his life, barriers of sin in his life that kept the Holy Spirit from flowing as it should. And so he took the time to seriously examine himself. And we're called to do that here at First Alliance on a monthly basis, aren't we? What are the words given to us as we come to the Lord's table? Paul is instructing the church in Corinth, and he says, therefore, let a man or a woman, in this case, examine themselves and then come to the table. We are called to do an examination of conscience. So part of the difficulty that we have in confession is being specific. So I had Jennifer print for us this morning. I hope you have, does anybody have this little blue sheet? Do we need some more? Justin, could you do your great task here? I'd like us to read this prayer together. Those of you who grew up in the Methodist church or in a Presbyterian church have done this. You've prayed what's called the prayer of confession. It's a corporate prayer that the congregation prays, usually at some time in the service. And it's a reminder, again, of the need of confession. And so I'd like us to read this together, and then I want to talk a little bit about how this helps us in the process. All right, does everybody have a copy? Okay. Let's read it together. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. But you, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent according to your promises declared to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. One of the things that this prayer helps us is to get specific, right? We have erred. We have followed our own devices. We have offended against your laws. We've done things we have not done what we ought to have done, and we've done things that we ought not to have done. So it's kind of very specific. And that's one of the means at which we need that helps us in our confession of our sin to the Lord. So the first and important thing to do is an examination of conscience. The second thing that we need to do is respond with sorrow. Now, sorrow is not just an emotion. Sorrow is an awareness of the hurt that I've caused. Jennifer mentioned there at the end, just before we sang our last hymn, that sin is an offense against God. It's not just something, oh, well, you know, I'm human. Sometimes we excuse our actions. But if we understand how heinous, how hurtful it is to the one who loved us so much that he sent his son, that we allow sin to become a barrier between us and him. If we understand the pain that we have caused, if we look at the cross again and see in the cross the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, even to the point where he had to cry the cry of dereliction, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the depth of sin that we have caused God. One of the amazing stories in the New Testament is Jesus having a dinner at a Pharisee's house. And during that dinner, a woman who was known to be a sinner comes in, and all she does is weep. She anoints his feet. She weeps over his feet. She uses her tears to wash his feet. What happened? She became aware of her sin and what she had done against God, and she was coming to Jesus to ask for forgiveness. And Jesus did. Jesus looked at her and said, this woman whose sins are many have been forgiven. Sorrow. And then thirdly, and this is also important, there needs to be a determination to live righteously, to live differently, to not go back into that same pattern. And for some of us who suffer perhaps from a recurring situation of sin in our lives, we need to ask the Holy Spirit for help. We need to ask the Holy Spirit for help in all of this, by the way, but particularly so we can live the life that isn't filled with barriers of sin in our life. Lord, help me live righteously. Lord, come and pour into my spirit, your spirit, that I might live holy. There has to be a sense in our confession that we're determined to change. Let's talk about one more thing here that I think is important. And we kind of mentioned this because the prayer itself is a corporate prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's a sense in which confession is also corporate. We have the great promise of God. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus came and died for each of us individually. And there are times when our confession is private, needs to be. But there are also times when God wants us to bear our sins, bear our confession to one another. In fact, in James chapter 5, in that whole prayer for healing that the elders are instructed to do, there is an instruction to us. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, that you may be healed. So there's a both and. It's not an either-or situation. So there's a need sometimes to come to a brother or a sister and ask for them to hear your confession. Here's why we can do that. What does God call us in 1 Peter? Do you remember? We are a kingdom of priests. What's the role of a priest? The role of the priest is to stand between God and us, to hear and then speak to God on our behalf, right? That's his role. That's our role. We're called to be a kingdom of priests to one another. And so when we come to God and we open our hearts to God, and sometimes when we do that, even though the word says, scripture tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, right? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes that just doesn't, we don't feel like anything is different. Why is that? I think part of that is that God has wired us to be corporate. God has wired us to care, to go to another person and receive the words of forgiveness from them. It's not that we're not forgiven, but that God needs us to be humble before another person. There's a story in my life that I'm a little reluctant to tell you because it's not a good one. When we were pastoring in our first church in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, we were called to another congregation up northern New York. And so we had to pack up our house, so I rented a truck. And in driving the truck around the block to bring it in front of our house, I hit a car that was parked too close to the corner, shouldn't have been there anyway. I hit a car and damaged his front fender. I looked at what I'd done, and then I just kept going. Didn't leave him a note, didn't say anything about it. So we loaded up, we packed, and we went to this new ministry. So then we were called back to Brooklyn, and guess what came up? I'm not sure it was the Holy Spirit or if it was Satan, but he said, "So you think you can go back and pastor a congregation in Brooklyn? You have unfinished business that's not been taken care of." I can't tell you how long a time that I spent just before the Lord asking for forgiveness, asking for cleansing, admitting that I had done wrong and doing all the things you're supposed to do with confession. No freedom. Fortunately, just before we moved to Brooklyn the second time, we had a pastor's retreat, and I found one of my fellow pastors, and I said to him, "I need to talk to you." And I told him the story. And he looked at me, and he said, "Bruce, here's what God says to you. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. As far as the east is from the west, I have removed your sins from you." I needed to hear those words spoken to me. I was free. So sometimes you need to go to another trusted, please hear that word, trusted believer who can hear your story and speak words that Christ would speak to you and tell you you have been forgiven and cleansed. And it's important that we do that. It's interesting in the very scene I pictured for you of the woman coming in and anointing Jesus' feet, Jesus turning to her and say, "Your sins have been forgiven." Those words need to be said, and we need to say them to one another as well. Now, that's the first part of this prayer request. The second part, as we heard in the video this morning, has to do with how we handle this with one another. We have offended one another, or somebody has offended us. What do we do? Well, very similar. You can't go to your brother or sister and say, "Well, obviously I've wronged you, and if I have, please forgive me." It doesn't work. We need to identify that offense. We need to take the time to examine our conscience. "Lord, what has happened here? What is between this brother and I, or this sister and I? And why has there been a break in our relationship?" And let the Holy Spirit show you. And then let the Holy Spirit also give you a sense of sorrow, give you a sense of the fact that what you did was not good. In fact, it hurt that other person. And understand the pain that you have caused in causing someone pain. And then going to that person and asking them to forgive you. It is important that we do this. And it is very interesting that when we do this, it brings harmony to the body. It brings relationship back in order. So what we need to say is, "I have realized," or we could say, "God has shown me that I..." And fill in the blank. "I am so sorry. I've obviously hurt you. Would you forgive me?" Make sure you ask for forgiveness. Jesus actually talked about this in two different ways as he was giving instructions to his disciples. One of the nice things about the Lord is he really knows us well. He knows we're going to get in trouble with each other. And so he says in one situation, he says, if you're bringing something to the altar to give to God, and you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar, go and make it right with your brother, and then come back. And then on another hand, he says, if your brother has sinned against you, you need to go to him and make it right. So you have the two things going on. I have offended somebody, and somebody has offended me. And so the picture I have in my mind is these two, the offender and the offendee, meet on their way to each other because they're obeying Christ in this need of confession and cleansing. So what do you do when the person who's wronged you is 90% wrong and your part is only 10% or maybe even less? I mean, in your mind, it's probably a lot less. Well, you're not responsible for your brother or sister. You are responsible for you. And so keep your confession to that which is wrong. Again, one of the ways not to receive forgiveness is to say, well, you were wrong, but I was too. Or I was wrong and you were wrong. It doesn't work. You just need to focus on your own and make it right. Would you forgive me? That's what we say to the Lord. And that's what we need to say to each other. I would like us to end our service this morning with a time of silence. And I would like you to take a little bit of time here and ask the Lord to examine your life, to do an analysis of your own conscience. Lord, is there anything in me that's between us? And then, if you have time after that, I want you to think about people who may have something against you. Again, let the Holy Spirit tell you. Listen carefully. And in the silence, as you hear, would you make your confession to the Lord? Jen's going to sing for us at the end of this time, and then I'll pray for us. But if something has come up that you need help with, we will be available for prayer afterwards. And I would encourage you to come and pray. But that's not necessary if you and the Lord have already taken care of it. But if you need more, we will be available to do that. This has been a rough week for preparation because this is a hard subject. None of us like to hear that we may be wrong. But the fact of it is, we have freedom in Christ. It's all there for us. We don't have to carry around guilt or shame. It's all been paid for at the cross. We have such a great gift of grace to us. Let's pray together. And let's ask the Lord to open our eyes to what he has.